This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're going to be talking about TVs and streaming services and home theatres and asking you a question. How do you normally consume content on streaming services? Is it via a home theatre system? Is it via your TV? Is it via your laptop or via your mobile device? You can let us know. Get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Finally, you can get us on Instagram at BFM Radio. And of course, we are on Twitter, also at BFM Radio. We've also got a story about...
about if your smart TV is spying on you.
Oh, creepy. Ooh. And how Santa Claus is zooming around this Christmas time. More on that in a few minutes. Now, with more major blockbusters being announced for direct-to-streaming release, providers are taking the opportunity to provide their customers with truly immersive experiences. Wonder Woman 1984 will be the first film on HBO Max to come in 4K and Dolby Atmos, if you are blessed with both of those things. The question is, do these fancy features really matter on a service that's built for mobility and ease of access? Arvin helped us create and prepare this story today.
Yeah.
Now, we still have no idea when cinemas will be opening here again, but over in the States, WarnerMedia is betting big on Wonder Woman 1984, drawing in subscribers to the HBO Max platform by releasing the film theatrically and on the streaming platform simultaneously on December the 25th. And as an added bonus, HBO Max will also screen the film in 4K HDR.
Nice.
This makes Wonder Woman 1984 the first film on the service to come in 4K. Keep in mind, other streaming platforms like Netflix and Disney Plus already have 4K capabilities, so it's about time HBO stepped up. HBO Max will also support HDR10, Dolby Vision, and Dolby Atmos. And of course, you'll need a compatible TV and a sound system if you want to enjoy all this added audio visual depth. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed the strategy behind Warner's decision to release Wonder Woman on its streaming platforms. Financially, it doesn't really make much sense. The film will bleed money, but the plan is to drive traffic to HBO Max. And I think we had the discussion of, what is HBO Max? What is HBO this? And it's still as clear as mud to me. but it pretty much confirms that analysis to be true. Warner is more interested in growing its streaming platform to match Disney and match Netflix and Disney. So in adding 4K support, HBO Max finally begins to catch up with the rivals Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, and Disney Plus at no additional cost. So, questions. Do these added features really matter on platforms that are meant to be mobile and built for easy access? Do you care about it, Chris, at all?
So I am that person who, if I'm watching a YouTube video, I put that all the way up to 1080p.
Yep.
It's just nice. It makes my eyeballs happy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But the thing with 4K and especially stuff like Dolby Atmos, which is, you know, not everyone has a surround sound system. Also because a lot of the stuff, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I watch like Netflix on, you know, either my laptop or my phone, right? And in that case, like, that
doesn't really matter.
As long as I can see things clearly and the lines are sharp and nice and make me feel happy.
Yep.
That's about it.
So I've been catching up on TV and series, movies recently. Catching up, I mean, on stuff that was released 10 years ago and I didn't get a chance to see it. So I've been watching some of the stuff recently. I have a 4K TV and I have had for the longest time one of those soundbars that does 2.1. It's not Dolby Atmos. It's not all that fancy stuff that Arvin's got. but I've recently realized that I think one of the speakers is on the way out and I've been having that bit of a crackle, right? So what I did is I had to switch back to my TV speakers. And I realized that I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. That's made a huge difference to my viewing experience.
Yeah.
Which is when I'm watching it on a TV.
Right.
If I'm watching it via my phone or on my laptop, like you, it doesn't really matter. Most of the time I'll have my headphones in or, you know, I'll just be sat on the bed and watching it on my phone and whatever. So it doesn't really matter. But when I'm watching something that I think needs a more cinematic experience, then I think stuff like 4K and a decent sound makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think there's kind of like a minimum for me in a way, which is like kind of 720p and up. You know, even like 360 or 480.
Right.
Like, I just don't want it to be blurry. I want to see the visual and hear the sound to a quality that, you know, I feel can convey everything well and clearly.
Right. And you don't want to see little pixels.
I don't want to see the pixels. Yeah. I want to hear like some nice crisp audio. It doesn't have to be, you know, theater level
right.
experience yeah. necessarily. That's yeah. what a theater eventually will be for again, hopefully. But, you know, I think that there, I think it also depends on the kind of media that you're watching.
Agreed.
As well.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like Dunkirk, I would not watch at home.
Right.
Because that's a different experience entirely,
yeah.
right?
I have tried.
Mm-mm.
No, don't do with that.
Yeah. I think for me, though, however, the main obstacle is not really so much the options for ultra-high quality. It's more my own internet speed that throttles my own internet.
Right.
Like streaming quality.
Yeah.
I think that's the main issue.
And that's a big issue. You know, how much internet speed do you really need to get that kind of quality?
I mean...
And thankfully, in the last 2 years, our internet speeds here in Malaysia have thankfully gone up. I don't know if you remember before, just...
In the before times.
In the before times, you know, it was very difficult to watch any of the streaming services for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I think it made a big difference and mm-hmm. a lot more people started subscribing to stuff like Netflix. Of course, we don't really have much access to stuff like Amazon Prime or mm-hmm. even HBO Max or mm-hmm. any of the other stuff. And even now, the selection on some of our streaming platforms is not the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, with stuff like Disney Plus and whatever being unavailable to us,
yeah.
do people really care that much?
I think it might be that, you know, since we can't go to cinemas right now, I would not be surprised if a lot of people have invested in setting up, you know, at
yeah.
least a kind of basic home theater setup at
yeah.
home. And that may be, I think, where HBO and Disney Plus are trying to zero in on,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just as a sort of like more direct competition with cinemas.
Right. I mean, we had 11/11 recently, 12/12
yes.
obviously coming up.
Yeah.
I went down to a place near my house to look at how much it would cost for me to replace that soundbar.
Mm.
Right. And for sale, it was, let's just say it was 1,600 ringgit.
Yeah.
And I balked at that.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, no, I can give it you for 1,000 ringgit. So
right.
he immediately knocked me 600 ringgit off. And my brain was like, how can you do that? They just wanted to shift stock, obviously.
Yeah.
But even at that price, that's a stretch for most people. And it was a stretch for me. And so I decided
not to.
I don't need that right now.
You
know, do you want to spend that kind of money to have yourself a home theater service? Or are you happy with your TV, your laptop, and your mobile device? Let us know how you normally consume content on your streaming services. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. Let's have some music to take us into the break. We've got J.R. Walker and the All Stars with Shake and Finger Pop here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're asking you about how you consume your streaming services. Do you use a home theater setup, just your TV, laptop, or a mobile device?
mobile device.
Thank you very much, Christine. Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. It's at BFM Radio. The reason we're talking about this is that with more major blockbusters being announced for direct to streaming release, some providers are taking the opportunity to provide their customers with truly immersive experiences. Wonder Woman, for example, 1984, will be the first film on HBO Max to come in 4K and Dolby Atmos. The question is, do these fancy features really matter on a service that's built for mobility and ease of access? Rose come back over here on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I think the choices of viewing streaming content are relative to your age and thus eyesight. Mobile phone, 18 and below. Laptop, 20 to 35. TV, 35 to 50. And big screen for over 50s. I got a big screen. I'm not over 50. I fall into the TV category.
I fall into laptop and mobile phone, and I am not under 18.
Right.
So...
Almost. I see where he's going.
Yeah, to be fair.
A bit of a broad brush, but you know.
Yeah, we've got some responses here on Twitter as well. So Faiz Azmi says, using the so-called 5.1 Samsung soundbar, brackets just a bar and subwoofer, on a 65-inch screen at 1080p. I'm not an audio or nor videophile, so this setup is sufficient. I don't think you have to be an audio or videophile to...
Faiz, tell me if that Samsung soundbar is any good. I'm contemplating buying one.
Yeah, and we've also got, let's see here, JF says, pre-COVID, I barely used any streaming services. 5 gigabytes of data was more than enough, but now drama-ing. I feel that. And Queen says TV and iPad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number ending 4047. Back on WhatsApp, I use a PC to watch and stream most of the time. Rarely on the TV now, except for family time.
Aww. Cute.
I've got another one.
Oop.
Yes. Number ending 9602. Usually consume via mobile or laptop due to the nature of my work, as I travel a lot and even to remote areas like offshore. With the pandemic, it really is making me want to invest in a home theatre system. Aha. Mm. Thank you, Denson.
I said that earlier, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Ooh. Interesting stuff. I'm struggling with this thing myself, actually. I mean...
You really want one, don't you?
I really want one. But I don't need one. I know I don't need one. But I have really noticed something, and I've been reading up a lot about it, and having got quite a bit of audio engineering experience, and in fact, my training is in audio engineering, the very fact that I have only, up until now, used a 2.1 system, it irks me, right? Because... Even just moving to a 3.1 means that I have that central channel where your dialogue comes from, right? And it makes a big difference.
I'm just kind of nodding and smiling.
Otherwise,
here.
Right. You know when you have to turn it up and turn it down and turn it up and turn it down and turn it up?
Right.
Moving from 2.1 to 3.1 eliminates that.
I see.
No more turning up and down.
I see.
Essentially. It's not that much of an investment, but it is. You know, it's 1,000 ringgit or so.
But of course, we're not the only people to be talking about this today. We've got other contributors to the conversation.
We do. We've got Vernon Chan, who is the founder and chief editor of vernonchan.com. Vernon, how do you usually consume streaming content? And what would be your ideal streaming setup if you had the choice?
Well, when I'm catching up on movies and favorite TV series, it's always on the TV. Otherwise, it's either on my PC, Mac, or mobile device. My ideal streaming setup would be a super fast fiber broadband connection, of course, a 65-inch TV, Dolby Atmos soundbar, and a pair of satellite speakers.
Ooh, wow. So, Vernon, do things like 4K HDR, Dolby Atmos, and Dolby Surround mean anything to you on a streaming service? Does it add value in any way?
I don't want to sound like a snob or come off as over-demanding, but 4K HDR, Dolby Atmos, Dolby Vision, and Dolby Surround are absolutely the things I consider crucial in my overall streaming experience. I appreciate the details, contrasts, color reproduction of visuals, and the soundstage and audio nuances when I'm watching a film or video. It's also exactly the reason why streaming services like Netflix and Apple TV Plus are my go-tos, simply because they offer the audio-visual quality that I look out for. It's also the same reason I primarily catch major films at IMAX or Dolby Atmos-supported traditional cinemas.
All right, so given the choice, how much extra would you be willing to pay for these additional features?
Personally, I'm willing to pay for the quality, if that option is offered. For a major blockbuster, I'd say I'll be willing to pay an equivalent price of a cinema ticket.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In 2019, right, it was reported that Netflix alone took up about 13% of all global internet traffic. From a tech standpoint, what do these added features, all of which require additional bandwidth, mean to the global demand for more resources and infrastructure? What are the pros and cons here?
Streaming services, primarily video streaming, do put a substantial strain on network infrastructure. We've seen an unprecedented growth in video streaming in the past 8 to 10 months, attributed to the global pandemic where more people are homebound. This is compounded by the fact that people are also doing more video conferencing, live streaming, and such. In my opinion, demand for bandwidth will never cease, especially when you're pushing higher definition content like 4K UHD. It's a vicious cycle of supply and demand. Network providers will continue to plow resources to upgrade their networks as user base and overall usage increases over time. That said, OTT providers have taken steps to lower bitrate streams during the pandemic to reduce strain on networks. And that aside, streaming services like Netflix use adaptive streaming technology that adjusts stream quality automatically depending on accessible bandwidth. In terms of pros and cons, I have the opinion that the explosion of streaming services will push the industry forward. Whether it's cellular like 5G or fiber connectivity, better and more efficient compression technology, or enhanced user experience. The cons I could think of would be that providers unable to meet demand, at least in the short term, resulting in poor user experience and connectivity.
Now, Vernon, as someone who's observed the way tech trends shift over the years, what do all these added features mean to the future of traditional cinema? Do consumers really care for these features? Or is the cinema still the go-to for that immersive experience?
Well, I don't want to sound grim, but while I think traditional cinema may not go away completely, its days are certainly numbered. From the way the film industry is going, it seems inevitable that traditional cinema is a dying breed. The versatility, flexibility, and convenience of streaming services outweigh the proposition of a traditional cinema as we know it. I think consumers care about streaming quality and the quality of content. They care about the convenience of being able to stream content from anywhere, anytime, on any device. And they also care about cost and value. The pandemic may have just accelerated the demise, but I'm hopeful that cinemas will still be there when this is over and for the near future. At least when it comes to the blockbusters, the major flicks and the premieres. Perhaps cinemas will innovate and reinvent themselves in some way. For me at least, while I love Netflix, Apple TV and YouTube, there's no replacing the immersiveness of the physical cinema.
You can't replace IMAX with Netflix. You cannot.
Mm.
You know, it's just one of those things that certain movies deserve to be seen in IMAX.
I mean, I guess my sort of parallel here is like, you know, theater still exists even with the advent of film, right? So this is kind of another parallel stream to all of those options, I feel. Mm. I hope, anyway, because I love the cinema.
I mean, like Vernon said, you know, he doesn't want to be a snob.
But
then there was that,
but
it has to have 4K, it has to have UHD, it has to have surround sound.
I will say that recently I've discovered something kind of interesting. I've been following a series on Astro's kind of on-demand feature, and I've also been watching Netflix and YouTube as well. And unfortunately for me, Astro's streaming quality for these on-demand stuff, so the stuff that it's like recorded and then you can play back later, are never ever as clear.
Was it raining when you were watching it?
No, but this is all recorded stuff. So it shouldn't be affected by internet quality in a way, or like rain or whatever. But it's always slightly blurrier than the Netflix and YouTube. And I always wonder why. And now that he said like, oh, there's that adaptability thing, it makes a lot more sense. But it confuses me because I'm also like, I always thought TV would win out in quality.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Time for a break. Ladies and gentlemen, as we just heard from Vernon, he likes a fairly decent experience. He likes a 65-inch TV if he's given the choice. He likes a 5.1 surround soundbar with Dolby Atmos and 4K. He likes all that stuff. I love all that stuff too. Given the choice, I would... I'll come back to it in a minute. What was it? In a reply to the DJ.
Yeah, so this is Faiz Azmi on Twitter, who just wants to tell you, Rich,
okay,
the DJ.
Okay.
Oh, the soundbar is excellent for its price, 600 ringgit. The best reason, no clutter. Subwoofer is wirelessly connected to the soundbar. I'm 34 and it's time to cut the clutter.
Oh, there we go. Cut that clutter, Faiz. Nice. Time to take a short break. When we come back, Chris will be asking the question of whether or not our smart TVs are spying on us. But don't forget, let us know how you consume your streaming content. Is it via a TV? Is it via a laptop, a home theater setup, a mobile device? Just let us know. WhatsApp 0187898899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after the Ramones with Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.